numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning, team. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM's Gil Alexander. Is Kelly Midland in the house on a Monday morning. How you doing, Kelly?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. We got a packed show on a Monday.
Yeah, we do.
Wes Reynolds. I don't know if he's in studio or not. Do we know? In studio?
We don't know, man.
We don't know. It's potluck.
It's Wes.
He rolls up.
Last week it was simply because he woke up early randomly.
He
showed up. Yeah, he was like, I figured I'd go get... I mean, he lives right down the street just like I do. Right. So he was like, yeah, I'll go get coffee and pop in.
Wes Reynolds talk PGA with us. Brad Porras to talk college baseball World Series futures. Oh, boy. That's next hour as well. Nick Whalen on the NBA. Andy McNeil on the Stanley Cup playoffs. How about them Vegas Golden Knights? Andy McNeil, who was all about Boston, and he was all about Edmonton. Oh, boy. I said to him last week, I go, why shouldn't I be betting Florida to beat Seattle in the finals at 20-1 right now? It's Meshuggah Stanley Cup postseason. But this is what we expect from it. Paul Sporer on baseball. And we begin with the NBA because we have our conference finals finally set. When we were here last, we didn't have anything said. Now we do. Nuggets and Lakers will start tomorrow night. That'll be preceded by the draft lottery. The Nuggets, a -155 favorite over DraftKings on the series. You think that's right, Kelly? You think that price is fairly accurate?
No, I think the Western Conference is spot on.
Spot on.
Yep.
We'll get into some thoughts on that a little later on. And, of course, yesterday... we got these determined finally because the Celtics took down the Sixers in game number 7 in Boston for the right to meet the 8th-seeded Miami Heat for the third time in 4 years, by the way. The Celtics are going to meet the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics do it by virtue of a 112-88 stomping of the Sixers. It wasn't a stomping from the beginning yesterday. Sixers led by as many as 9 in the first quarter and the early second quarter, but by the time they were halfway through the second, Celtics had retaken the lead. But this really came down to early third quarter. So Celtics led by 3 at the half. Then Tobias Harris hits a 3 to start the second half. So we're 55-55, 23 seconds into the third quarter. And then the eruption happened. A 33-7 Celtics run the rest of the quarter. 33-10 the entire quarter intact. The Sixers scored 10 points in the third quarter. 88-62 after the frame ball game. Tatum at that point had 42. Embiid at that point had 13 on 4 of 16, and Harden had 9 on 3 of 10. Celtics led by as many as 30 on their way to the win. Jason Tatum ends up with an NBA Game 7 record, 51 points. Steph Curry had that record at 50 for just a couple weeks. He did that in the Kings series, but Tatum eclipses that with 51, 13, and 5 yesterday. Embiid, the MVP, by the way, ends up with 15 points on 5 of 18 shooting, minus 28 in the plus minus. He had 2 points in the second half on 1 of 6 shooting. Harden ended up with 9 on 3 of 11, 1 of 5 from behind the arc. He had a minus 30 in the plus minus. Who do I pick on first?
Would you like to hear Joel Embiid pick on everybody else but himself?
Well, let's go to that first because this is... a little bit out of context, but let's hear Joel Embiid pick on everybody else first.
We got the chance to win, but, you know, it's going to take, you know, more than us. We all got to look at ourselves. I got to be better, and I will be better. That's what I'm focused on. You know, all of us, we got to, you know, come back and find ways to just keep improving and, you know, help the team. You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just, you know, try to keep finding ways to get better. And, you know, we'll be fine.
Well, the part of that, of course, is being latched onto everybody is the me and James, we can't win alone. That's why basketball is played 5-on-5. We need everybody to find ways to be better. It was out of context to the degree that right before that, he was talking about Harden's contract and whether or not Harden would come back. So it was after that, and then he's like, well, all that, I don't know what James is going to do, but me and him, we can't do it alone. So it really wasn't as bad as it's being made out to be. Their performances were as bad as they were being made out to be. That's a different story. By the way, Doc Rivers, who, as we know, as we documented last series. He's got the most 3-1 leads botched in postseason history with three. Add a 3-2 to that, another 3-2. Here's the full list of them. Leads botched by Doc Rivers in his postseason coaching career. Look at that. 3-2, 3-2, 3. I mean, there's now 4 3-2s in addition to those 3-3-1s that he botched. But again, Harden, let's go back to this because there's blame to go around. Harden scored 45 points on 30 field goal attempts, remember, in game one. Then in game four, he had 42 points on 23 field goal attempts. The rest of the series, he averaged only 13.4 points in the other five games versus the Celtics on 25.3% shooting from the field. And then after game four, after that great performance he had in game four, this is maybe the most stat, this is the most unbelievable stat of them all. He did not score in the fourth quarter in 32 total minutes across games 5, 6, and 7. 0 points, Kelly. Yeah. How many did you score in those three games?
Just as many as James Harden.
I believe you did. By the way, this is in contrast. Of course, Sixers fans are like, he's Ben Simmons. This is what Ben Simmons did. Now, he's not Ben Simmons, but if you recall, Ben Simmons at least had the decency not to take shots against Atlanta in the fourth quarter back in the day in 2021 in games 5, 6, and 7 of those series. So basically, Harden and Simmons were traded for each other, and now they both somehow have 3-plus games of 0 points in the fourth quarter of a second-round series for the Sixers. Sixers ended up 8 of 37 from behind the arc. I mean, really, honestly, I mean, how many times have I said on the show, if you just give me one stat, just let me know how the three-pointers went. The Sixers were 8 of 37, 21.6% from behind the arc. And remember with them, now they're facing, you know, they're out, Jimmy Butler's in. Jimmy Butler, remember, left the Sixers. Jimmy Butler, obviously, now with the Heat, going to play the Celtics for the third time in 4 years in the conference finals. By the way, this entire Final Four is the bubble Final Four redux. But Jimmy Butler's conference finals, since he joined Miami, he's got three of them. Sixers, T-Wolves, Bulls, the teams that he used to play for, all have a collective zero. Sixers haven't been to a conference final since 2001 when AI was doing his thing. And Jimmy Butler, remember, he left Philly. Do you remember he came over in the trade? He spent 1 year in Philly. They had a great year. They won 51 games. He got along with Embiid great. But in the end, he cited a couple things. He goes, he never knew who was in charge. He used expletives when talking about it. Never saw eye to eye with Brett Brown, the coach at the time. And essentially, according to Embiid, and Embiid said this on J.J. Riddick's podcast, they essentially picked Simmons over him. And here we are. So the Celtics, now this was one thing to ask you about the Nuggets and Lakers price. The Celtics are minus 525. In some spots, they're $6 in this Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat. Does that seem right to you?
Yeah.
It does.
Yep. I thought what...
When we gonna learn?
The East Coast openers, I thought, were way too short yesterday. They had like minus 450, minus 475 on the Celtics. Here in Vegas, they opened way closer to, like, it was minus $6. Yeah, I think it is. I've got bets already.
You think that
I'll be dying on this hill. It's okay, Gil.
You have laid the juice.
No. I bet Celtics in 5, Celtics in 6 is what I bet, and I'll be betting it game by game.
Celtics in 5, Celtics in 6.
Partially I bet it that way. I'm not laying 525. This is we see how much one injury can affect things. Obviously during NBA playoffs like this, for that kind of number. That's just not something I'm going to play. I'll attack it game by game, but I did play Celtics to win in 5, Celtics to win in 6.
What we're showing is plus 245 and plus 360 on 5 and 6, respectively.
Yeah, I got a little bit better numbers than that. Just shop around. That's always, like, every book's offering these.
What's your thinking on why you're so confident in this?
Because they're a nightmare for what the Heat do offensively. This is a nightmare matchup for them as far as their 3-point shooting. First of all, them and the Knicks last series, this seemed to go under the radar, combined for the worst 3-point shooting series in the past 7 years.
Knicks were terrible.
Okay, yeah. I think that helped cover up how good the Heat might have been. The 3-point shooting has to be there for the Heat to win. The Celtics defend the three about as well as anybody has. What they can do on the perimeter is going to make life miserable for the Miami Heat. turn around the other side, they don't have a lot of great matchups for what the Celtics can do offensively on that side of the ball. I think the biggest thing, though, for me, Gil, it does go back to a lot of the same reasons of why I liked the Bucks so much against them. However you want to order the top four best players in this series, it's Tatum, Brown, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. I don't care how you want to order those four. Mm-hmm. It's those four. After that, there's about four or five Boston Celtics before you hit the next best player on the Miami Heat. There's just two. There is a talent imbalance that is so far in the Boston side that it shouldn't matter. Now, I bet 4-1, 4-2 because do I think...
Did you say this before the Bucks series as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Just curious.
Do I think the Celtics are going to mess around and do idiot things and get outcoached by Eric Spoelstra
versus Missoula
for at least a game or two? Yeah, probably. Yes, I do.
Yeah, there's that. By the way, if the Heat win the series and the Lakers win the series, the Miami Heat have home court advantage in the NBA Finals.
It's amazing.
That is a quirk that would surprise many. The eighth-seeded Heat had a better record by one game over the seventh-seeded Western Conference Lakers. So they would, by virtue of that, get home court in the NBA Finals. The only other thing to say here, last thing about the Sixers, and I quipped about this last week, because I'm a quipper, Kelly. Yeah. I was like, is it too late for Embiid to give his MVP trophy to Nikola Jokic? And I just want to say it again before we put it to rest. Remember how this went down. Nikola Jokic was the favorite to win MVP, and then the Nuggets lost four games in a row. They had the nerve, the chutzpah, to lose four games in a row. And it was, if I didn't know any better, it was like this concerted mainstream media effort to shift everything from Bill Simmons to Zach Lowe's. Oh, Jokic had 47 kicked basketballs. This is terrible defense. No, that's a great play. To Perkins, Kendrick Perkins, none of it made any sense. And I hope that's driven home. Now, will anybody admit to that tremendous failure? No, probably not. More on basketball, including the Warriors, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets, we get texts. This is from Bear. Chris Valica was listening to us here. He goes, teams I never want to hear anything about ever again. This crosses sports. It says Edmonton Oilers, Philadelphia 76ers, San Diego Padres, Los Angeles Clippers, Chicago White Sox. What do all five of those have in common? The hype train is always there, and the hype train never amounts to anything.
That is a solid list.
That is a solid list. That is such a good list.
Yeah, the Oilers are out. There goes all my NHL futures.
I know there's people listening like, oh, add this team and add that team, but that's a pretty good list right there.
Yeah.
And we'll get into the Oilers with Andy McNeil coming up here momentarily. We also get tweets at Beating the Book, always appreciated. This is from Podiatron. Someone can't get over Joker not winning MVP, LOL. Yeah, it's not that I can't get over it. I mean, it happened. It's done. It's just that I just want people to remember how this happened. Like, Jokic it was a done deal. It was fait accompli. Then the Nuggets had the nerve to lose those four games, and then everybody. Remember Tim Legler after Zach Lowe did the, I don't know, I think my vote would be for Embiid. Those 47 kicked basketballs on defense is out of control. And then Tim Legler did that exhaustive segment on one defensive play by Embiid, just gushing over. He went down court and he blocked this one shot. I'm just like, is this really? Like, that's...
Philly, since March 1st, was 15-7 in the regular season. Denver, 9-10.
Yeah. That's what did it.
Yeah. That's a small sample size at the end of the season.
Or again, it was, and I've said this for months, I think well before anybody else did, which is historically it was only Russell, Wilt, and Bird who had won three in a row. Was there a group of voters that just didn't want Jokic to be part of that group? Whatever it was, he's the best player in basketball. Do we have that NBA Central tweet where it's like,
oh yeah,
his whole, this is the last 10 games in the postseason, Jokic. It's like you've hit the royal, look at this. I don't even have to go through these, but it's It's eight. It's what is it? Seven? No, half of those are triple doubles, including a 50 and then a 53-point game in there as well, where he didn't have a triple double. And then there's a couple that are just on the cusp of triple doubles. Anyway, he controls every game he's in. What are we talking about? I do want to talk about, obviously, the Warriors, because I had a Western Conference futures ticket on the Warriors. Warriors lose, and they lose badly to the Lakers in Game 6 on Friday night. Wish that game were more competitive. It wasn't. Lakers crushed them. And, you know, after the game, Steve Kerr's like, yeah, we just weren't a championship team. And that's probably true in the end. Like, and we did say, we're like, they've got no answer for Anthony Davis. So if Anthony Davis ever wanted to just play, the Warriors would have no answer for him. But the sports talk radio question has always been, is this the end of the dynasty? And the Warriors, at least sort of internally, are saying, like, we don't think it is. And I guess the best way I could sort of describe that is the Warriors were sort of trying to do the impossible here. They were trying to maintain dynasty while then bringing up young kids. Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman. And that was always going to be an amazing thing to accomplish if they could. But in the end, it didn't work out. Wiseman got dealt. Kuminga got in the doghouse. Moody played a little. He was the only of the three that did. And so now the Warriors are sort of left with this. They still have the core. And by the way, it's Draymond's option. Draymond's not going anywhere. Because Draymond's not going to get paid what he could get paid in Golden State anywhere else.
Yeah, I find it very hard to believe.
Draymond is only valuable to the Warriors, you know, and he's super valuable to them, but not valuable at all to anybody else.
So I would use, JVT did bring up a couple teams he thought he'd be a good fit for.
Really?
That I agree, like Dallas Mavericks being one of them, but I agree with. I just don't see any world where he's leaving.
So if you're the Warriors, you now have to decide, okay, this threading the needle thing didn't work. Do we decide to run it back and go for it again with the core group of obviously Steph, Clay, and Draymond, or do we break this up? I think they're going to run it back. And I wouldn't count him out next year.
I think they will include Jordan Poole. Remember, he signed that big deal last summer. Obviously, he didn't have the best playoffs or best season.
If we really did the autopsy on this season, the punch, it kind of set the tone. And while Jordan Poole didn't talk about that publicly, we're talking about Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole. Maybe we really, in retrospect, should have been like, that was the moment where you knew this wasn't going to work out. But anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, I think I think all those guys will be back, and I think there's at least enough faith in that system that they think those guys, some of them, will be better. I mean, let's be honest. Clay and Jordan Poole sucked down the stretch,
sucked.
Right? Like, they need to be better.
Yeah.
I think there's belief there, though. Those guys will be better. Obviously, three of those four are aging. You can still, like, the Warriors had a chance with those young pieces that you were talking about to have this amazing,
yes,
amazing collaboration of experienced vets with young players that could take over, you know, once those guys moved out of the way. Okay, maybe you're not in that situation anymore, but you're still in a situation that a lot of NBA teams would kill to be in, where you have great players that a lot of veterans would kill to play for on a veteran minimum deal.
You add Wiggins to that core. And
Wiggins, yes.
And they literally just lost their first series under Steve Kerr in the Western Conference. You know, it's just incredible. So I don't think it's dead, and we'll see how they are next year. We'll see what number you can get on them.
Yeah.
As well. As far as these, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, spinning this four that you mentioned, Anthony Davis, I am obsessed with this Western Conference series, and I am obsessed with the idea of Anthony Davis, for everybody who's hated on him and all the hate that he's gotten, if this plays out like the NBA Finals, he'll have two rings. And we sit here talking all this trash about him. There's so many storylines that in these final four teams that could just be so great. If AD, the AD-Jokic matchup is just, who could ask for more, right?
You can't.
Is Jokic going to dominate AD and really, you know, send home the thoughts about the MVP like we're all thinking right now?
Or is Jokic going to have to play some defense to get exposed?
Exactly. Or does AD have a series where we're like, man, we owe Anthony Davis so many apologies for how he just manhandled Nikola Jokic, and now they're going to the NBA Finals?
Well, I can tell you that if just me watching games, the comment that I have made the most repeatedly over and over to my friends, whoever I'm watching the game with, is, think how easy this sport must be for Anthony Davis. Like, it's just, he just can dominate anyone if he wants to.
This is just such a opposite matchup, though, from Golden State, right? Yep. This is, you might not have as good of quality defenders that Golden State was able to throw out, but the length is there right now, right? You have Jokic, you can't go over the top, everybody. Jokic is going to be there. His big, burly, 7'1", like, you ain't going to be able to go through him. You're going to have to be quick going around him. You're going to have to hit fadeaways, all that stuff. And, this series, LeBron's going to have to be big, but Anthony Davis, you can't disappear. Nope. Like, you got to match Jokic. And I don't know. I don't know what to believe, Gil. There's a part of me. I've got a Nuggets game one bet. I like them at home game one. You have to keep in mind the Nuggets, all regular season and playoffs, have lost 7 times at home. 7 times.
So piggybacking off that, if Denver wins the first two on their home court, do you think the Lakers are done? Because the Lakers have to win 4 out of 5 at that point.
No.
You don't think they're done?
Not absolutely. I'll probably take a piece of the Lakers series price if they drop game one. I think they got a chance. Mm.
Okay. And then the Heat Celtics side, you like the storylines there too?
I mean, it's like you brought up already, like these two teams back in the Eastern Conference Finals. As much as people, even like me, that want to hate on what the Heat did this regular season, this stretch of what the Miami Heat have done the past 4 seasons with no LeBron James, no Dwayne Wade, no Chris Bosh, no we're going to win 4, 5, 6. You got Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and a bunch of scrubs going to the Eastern Conference Finals once again. It's incredible.
Tyler Hero still not expected to be part of this series?
I don't think so. I heard some people starting to talk about him coming back last night. I'm like, they said 6 weeks.
They said finals, if anything.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't think you should expect him back. And you know, Gil, real quick, if I'm gonna hate on Jason Tatum when he's bad, yes, I gotta give him credit when he's good.
100%.
Because if that game yesterday, like you were breaking down the first segment, that was a battle still in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
In the third quarter, Jason Tatum knockout punch after knockout punch, haymaker after haymaker, put them down and put them out. He was incredible.
Sixers had no answer whatsoever.
Nothing.
So again, it's the same Final Four as the bubble. It's the Celtics and the Heat for the third time in 4 years in the Eastern Conference Final. The one quirk about that is that while Eric Spoelstra has been the Heat coach the entire time, this is the Celtics' third coach in those 3 of 4 seasons, obviously going from Brad Stevens to Ime Udoka and now to Joe Mazzulla.
Who was also good. I owe an apology too as well. Those last couple games tightened up things on Embiid, looked a lot better offensively and defense.
As we talked about on Friday, he changed the lineup in game 6. He listened to the players.
Yes.
Learning on the job in that regard. Should be fun. We'll take a break from basketball. We'll talk with Nick Whalen about it later. We'll talk some baseball with Paul Spohr, some hockey with Andy McNeil. What a Stanley Cup postseason. MLB next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days. And for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign them now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. This is from LFC Title Records. It says, Joel Embiid blaming his teammates is like me blaming an octopus for my World Cup betting futures, or failures rather, and a corgi for my basketball betting losses. Luckily, I still have my weather futures looking good thanks to a groundhog. Ryan Hyatt. Hey, Ryan Hyatt. He says, quote, I'm a quipper, as seen on Gil's business card that doesn't exist but totally should. John Massey. And here I thought the lead would have changed to tennis, and Carlitos losing as -3,300 favorite this morning. Yeah, Carlos Alcaraz loses in Italy in a tournament that, by the way, has just been unbelievably just rife with upsets.
Did he just move to number one in the world, too, over the weekend? Is that what I saw?
I believe did he move to number one or did he maintain number one? I can never keep track.
I'm gonna look that back up.
No, you're right. He might have moved to number one. Or was he already? Yeah, it's always a thing. Anyway, he loses to Fabian Morazan. You had him, right? Alcaraz was minus 3.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that anybody bet on Alcaraz because he was such a big big favorite in this, but this is the last 1,000 tournament, which is the biggest tournaments short of being a slam before the French Open. And we already had Jesse Pegula lose earlier, and then Aryna Sabalenka lost earlier, and then the girls that beat them, Taylor Townsend and Sofia Kenin, respectively, then they lose immediately the next round, so there's no, you know, there's no tear by either of those two. And now Alcaraz loses on the men's side. Djokovic still alive on the men's side. And, of course, Iga still alive on the ladies' side. Iga just breadstick and bageling everybody, feels like. What do you got there?
I was right. He moved to number one.
He moved to number one.
So maybe, does he have a chance then for that to switch again with Djokovic still alive?
I don't really follow how the – because the rankings, they drop off from the previous year. So it's nothing you follow too closely. But, yeah, that was his reaction, I guess, to go to number one, you said. He'll be back for the French. He'll be fine. Just Doug, thanks. I am not over the MVP. I might get over it with a Denver championship. Rich PSM, please, please book one of these MVP voters for Embiid so we can learn. If they learned you can't vote based on fatigue. He's talking about voter fatigue and the three in a row thing. So, we have Spore? No. We don't have Spore? No. You want to do Eastern Conference and Western Conference final MVPs? Because remember, this came up for the first time last year.
Yeah.
Or did they name it for the first time last year?
I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Was the first time.
First time it came up.
Yeah. And to that MVP comment, real quick. No, the better one would be Mark Jackson, who didn't have Jokic on his ballot at all.
Top five, you got
top
to vote
five.
On.
Yeah.
So remember, like Barkley was like, whoever did that's an idiot, right? I thought Mark Jackson handled it great. He was just like, hey, I just thought it was by position. I put my center. My bad. I completely blew it. Basically, I'm paraphrasing him. So while, you know, people were ready to
I didn't hear big comments.
And then he was joking about it on the broadcast because they brought up MVP randomly something. And Mark Jackson goes, let's not talk about that anymore. And they were laughing at him. So he's handled it kind of with grace, I think. Even though he realizes he's a complete ridiculous
guy. I mean, that's great to hear.
Yeah, but he still shouldn't have a vote.
You should know what you're voting on.
You should pay attention to what you're doing if you're voting. And Mo, by the way, some of us are betting on these things.
I was going to say, like, I love betting on award stuff so much, but when I hear stories like this, and I know a couple of the, I don't even know what the word to use, a couple of the dudes who vote on the Heisman where it's like, you should not have a vote whatsoever.
Well, the problem with the Heisman is there's like 1,000. Yes. I'm not joking. There's like 1,000 people who have votes for the Heisman.
It's like old school Twitter blue check mark. Like they need to check in like probably every 6 months to a year to figure out if some of these people are even like still working in the industry or like covering teams or anything.
You mean old school blue check mark or new school?
Yeah, old school blue check. Yeah. That's what I said. Old school.
Blue check,
old school.
Okay.
There are some of those guys who vote on the Heisman, they barely do anything with college football.
Blue check marks. I said it that day. I go, in one fell swoop, they've made anybody who had a blue check mark so uncool. It's unbelievable. Nice job, Elon, on that. All right, Eastern Conference Finals MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP. Let's go to the East first. And this should get really interesting in the West because that's going to be top heavy. But in the East, obviously, with the Celtics and Lakers, and Kelly said this earlier, you know who the four best players are, Tatum, Brown, Butler and Bam, and whatever order you want to make them, those are your four guys. Now Marcus Smart is waving his hand somewhere, and others are as well. But what are the numbers you got here at the top?
Yeah, they belong in that group of like five players before you hit Max Strus on the Miami side. Eastern Conference Finals MVP Jason Tatum minus 220.
Oh, man.
Jaylen Brown plus 250. Jimmy Butler plus 425. Bam Adebayo 30-1, Marcus Smart 40-1, Derek White, everybody else 100-1 or longer.
Okay. So if you think the Heat win this series, that's an auto bet on Butler, right?
This is the pro tip, right? Like some of these are more correlated than others, right? Jimmy Butler, I guess in Jokic too. So correlated to if you win the series,
yes,
they're likely going to win this award, right? I guess you could throw Tatum up there.
But my point is with Butler, with the others, you won't get plus 425 in the correlations.
Right, but you're it's only a 25-cent difference, though, from the series. Right? It's only plus, like, the Heat are plus 400.
So it's not worth it. There you go. Yeah. So it's not worth it, right?
Yeah.
Who's your bet in that series? You like the Celtics, so who's your bet?
It'd probably be Tatum. I wouldn't lay 220 on this though.
No.
Because I'll go back to what I said last week. I don't think there's that big of a separation as we all make it seem between Tatum and Brown. They just don't let Brown shoot.
What about the West? Speaking about correlation here.
Okay, now this is interesting.
What is Jokic's number? That's all I want to know.
Jokic minus 130.
Wait a minute. Jokic is only minus 130?
Yep.
Hold on. Jason Tatum was what?
Minus 220.
All right, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you got to keep the series prices in mind.
Series prices in mind, yes. Okay. But I think there are more, that's true, but I think there are more competitors on the Boston team for an MVP than there are on the, if Denver wins the series, what are the chances that it's not Jokic?
That's where it's, I mean, it's
who's next on Denver?
It would only be Jamal Murray.
What's Jamal Murray?
14-1.
And everybody else is 100-1 or longer?
So in the West, real quick, Jokic minus 130, LeBron plus 260, Anthony Davis plus 350, Jamal Murray 14, and then everybody 100-1 or longer.
That's the draw. That's the real drop off. All right. If I said to you, let's play this the other way.
Austin Reeves, 120-1.
Still getting over his dad's Ferrari being banged up in Ferris Bueller. So if I said to you, let's go this the other way. Let's say you must play a 100-1 or longer shot in each conference. You are forced to do so. Who's your guy?
Oof. Okay.
I know who my West is.
Let's go D'Angelo Russell for the Lakers in the West.
I'll go Michael Porter Jr.
Okay. And I'll go Robert Williams in the East at 100-1.
Okay. So that last comment, that last response proves how ridiculous this sounds. Because these are one of these bets where it's like we can fill content talking about, oh yeah, how great would this be if it was 100-1 that hit. But honestly, the scenarios, if you just go through game scripts and a series script of the scenarios it would take for this, we saw it in a Super Bowl, right? Let's just use the Super Bowl. Remember, remember the Patrick Mahomes, the last Patrick Mahomes MVP before this one? Who was the running back that should have won it for the Chiefs? Name escaping me right now because I'm not in football mode. But Patrick Mahomes won it. And it just shows you it's like such a star system of things where it's like, okay, you really got to just destroy in at least three games if you're going to take this away from the big guns. So I think this is, I would never recommend one of these long shots. But I think Jokic is the best. So if I go, what's the best bet in either conference? To me, it's Jokic by a mile. By a mile.
Yeah.
Based on the price. Though I don't know. Though I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say by a mile. I think the better bets are in the West. I think Jokic and Anthony Davis are both the best bets.
I agree. I agree with that. Depending on which side of the series you're on, I think both of those are bettable. JVT, I know, we were talking about this on Saturday, on Live Bet Saturday, these prices. He was blown away that Anthony Davis was that much longer than LeBron James.
Yes, I would agree with that, too.
And I think he was like 4-1 when we were talking about, so that price has shortened a bit. I just don't know. Do we still, like, is there this LeBron national narrative that could just take over? That was the only thing I was cautioning him on. I wouldn't be betting this if I was a Lakers fan.
The answer to that is a resounding yes,
yeah,
as we know.
I know.
Ugh, get ready for that.
Like, I think Anthony Davis could have some games, Gil, where it is a gruesome 24 points, 12 rebounds, just banging with Nikola Jokic all game, right? Well, where he is the most valuable player.
May we say this, though? We didn't give LeBron enough credit. He was remarkably great, especially in that final game against the Warriors. Yep. Just steady as she goes. LeBron James' legacy just continues. We'll come back. We'll talk hockey with Andy McNeil next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds, specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get a to get back, rather, a $25 bonus bet if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. That's a one-game parlay of four legs or more. Get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Matthew Mayberry letting us know that Damian Williams was the running back for the Chiefs. Of course he was. There was also that New England Super Bowl where James White probably should have won it, right? And they're like, oh, here you go, Tom Brady.
Yep.
This is a good one, too. This is from Jason H11, who says, whenever you guys have MVP betting conversations, I always wish New York offered it. Then the Mark Jackson-type stories pop up, and I immediately think, yeah, that's okay. You keep your MVP voting. It's a great comment. Really is true. Let's talk some hockey. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs have just been tremendous as well. And when I mean tremendous, I mean just wacky. As they always seem to be. Andy McNeil joins us. Digital Gambler is where you can follow him on Twitter. How you doing, Andy? What's up?
I'm doing good. I'm on the Kraken bandwagon now. If not for long, I might be on the Florida bandwagon again before too long. But today it's the Kraken.
Today it's the Kraken. All right, well, there's so many places I want to start, but let's since you bring that up, let's start there. So, Game 7 tonight to finally determine who the final four teams are in the NHL. We already know that it's going to be Florida and Carolina in the East, and right now the Vegas Golden Knights are awaiting the winner of tonight's game at the West. So it's Kraken and Stars. This is in Dallas. The Stars are -210 and the Kraken are +180. What in the world? Give me one reason why the Kraken should be this long.
Yeah, I don't think there is a good reason why they should be this long. I have it around +165. That's where I think the line should be in terms of, you know, where the Kraken are at. -165 in favor of the Stars, obviously. So at +180, I think there's some good value there. I think, you know, you look at Seattle, even though they really don't look great through a statistical lens, they're playing playoff hockey. They're getting the job done. It's not pretty at times. The Stars have held a big edge, 57% in expected goals throughout the series, but they haven't had a big edge in shot attempts, and Seattle's depth has been able to match up. I mean, you look at these teams, and both teams have 11 different skaters that have scored in this series. The Kraken have 8 different players that have scored multi-goals in the series. The Stars only have 5. And that's a big reason why they've been able to get to Jake Oettinger. They've shown that they can do that in this series. They've chased him a couple of times, had him pulled from games. And if they can do that again, then they've got a chance. Oettinger hasn't been good. He's allowed 8.5 goals above expected, according to Evolving Hockey. So really bad, actually. And Philip Grubauer, I don't think he's going to steal a game for the Kraken here. But at least he isn't very likely to do so. But he's been up to the task for the most part, and he's played well. And so if Seattle can bring their A game tonight, like they have had obviously 3 times in this series, and I thought they probably should have got another win already in game 5. So, the goaltending, Jake Oettinger could come back and have a big bounce back performance, but he hasn't shown that he can do that here in this series yet. And I think the Kraken are a good bet at +180.
Can I just ask you a handicapping question in general? And this, you know, this is under, you know, in the context of how random the postseason always seems to be in hockey, and we're seeing it again this year as well, which is, I'll just take tennis, I'll raise my hand, and I'll say, okay, you know, my clay court numbers aren't as good as my hard court numbers. Whether that's a product of sample size, whether that's a product of slow clay versus faster clay, for whatever reason, the variance in hard court still works out better for me than it does on clay. So I have to sort of be cognizant of that. Do you ever... Like in postseasons, are you ever able to sort of back away and reassess? Maybe you reassess and you're like, nope, I'm going with what I got. But do you ever do that? Do you find that postseasons in the NHL are so random? We've seen it with Boston. We've seen it with Edmonton, who a lot of people thought was the best team after Boston's exit. Maybe some people thought it was Toronto. Whatever. Here we could be staring down the barrel of a Florida, Carolina, Vegas, Seattle Final Four. Four non-hockey cities, to say the least. I mean, just a broad question. Do you ever do that reassessment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm reassessing all the time, and I mean, it's so hard. I mean, you look back at, I mean, Vegas and Winnipeg was a good example. We talked about it on the show, how badly Vegas was dominated in game one, and to see them come back, and of course, injuries played a role, but win four straight games in that series, I mean, you know, just when you think you've got it figured out and things are lining up with your projections, everything can flip, and you know, if you're a little bit stubborn, like I maybe was in that series, you know, things can go against you even worse even worse so than they would have originally. So, I mean, I think you have to reassess. You know, there's definitely some stubbornness there. I mean, the regular season, like I like to say, like I do enjoy the blissful ignorance of the regular season, where you can't watch every game and dissect every little thing. So much like you can in the playoffs, especially at this point where, you know, there are so few games and the attention is all on these conference finals coming up here. So, I mean, yeah, you've really got to kind of go with what you're seeing now and you know, what teams are doing in their current form. You look at a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky, of course, the fact that he hasn't been one of the best goaltenders in the world for the last few seasons mm-hmm. is a concern, but he's playing like it right now. We know he has that pedigree. So I lean towards the current form kind of holding strong here more so than what we saw in the regular season, right?
Did we, and I'm saying we as a collective hockey, I'm not part of this, but hockey experts, did hockey experts as a group misread the Knights with Mark Stone and without Mark Stone? Was that a problem in assessing that team?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, I mean, there's some uncertainty there for sure. You don't know what the guy's going to bring to the table coming back off that. You know, injury, the back surgery, et cetera, and months and months of rehab. But I mean, he's been great. I think Edmonton really kind of screwed themselves over a couple of times. You know, we saw in the first four games, it really flip-flop. I mean, Vegas was great in game one, Edmonton great in game two, and, you know, so on and so forth in game three and game four. And then in game five, I thought the Oilers, you know, really kind of, you know, they played a good game in game four. I thought they played well in game five and game six. And that was something that they weren't able to do earlier in the series, and Vegas wasn't able to do either. And that was, you know, carry over a strong performance and not really wilt when things didn't go their way. But we saw both, you know, in game five and game six, just some short stretches there, a couple of minutes long, where things really fell apart for the Oilers, whether it was because they took some bad penalties or just kind of fell apart on a particular play. But I thought overall they played pretty well and just didn't get some breaks and didn't get the goaltending, obviously, when Vegas did. And Aiden Hill was fantastic in that series. So
Aiden
I think,
Hill,
you know,
sure
you look
was.
At, yeah. You look at the Western Conference final, and I'm assuming you were going to ask me about this
Yes. Anyway.
Like, I think Vegas obviously should be cheering for Seattle here tonight. It's the difference between
that was my, you know, next question.
Being in a pick'em series or being in a series against the Kraken, where I think they would win, you know, around 67% of the time. So a really big difference here, you know, upwards of 15% of a swing in terms of their chances of moving on to the Stanley Cup final. So the Vegas Golden Knights should definitely be big Seattle Kraken fans tonight.
Have you done what you think the series price should be? Is that an unfair question at this point?
Yeah, I haven't finalized it, but I'll have Stars Vegas close to 50-50. And like I said, Seattle, Vegas, I think I would have Vegas favorite somewhere around 66-67%. So upwards of minus 200.
Wow. Okay. And then in the East, Carolina, taking on the Florida Panthers. What do you have that? Do you have a bet in the series? Do you have a bet in game one?
I don't have a bet in the series. I'm, you know, the market has kind of moved around now. DraftKings opened up with Florida at plus 120 on the money line for game one and on the series price. I thought that was a good bet for game one. You know, we've seen a lot of variance in game one overall. And in these playoffs, the underdogs are 9-3 so far. So, you know, I you know, we've talked about this before. I think the game one price should always be or almost always be shorter than the series price. And it wasn't. And I thought that game should be priced closer to a pick'em in favor of Carolina at around minus 110. So I bet Florida at plus 120. Didn't bet them in the series, hoping they can, you know, carry some of this magic over to the Eastern Conference final and win game one.
Okay. When the playoffs started, we power ranked, said Boston was number one. Power ranked when it got into the conference semis, said Edmonton was number one. Who's number one of these remaining five right now? Let's do the curse here. Who do we got? It wasn't just you, by the way. Who do you got number one?
Who is number one? It's close between Vegas and Dallas and Carolina. I think Florida's kind of the odd one out, but okay. Yeah, it's really, really close. I'll give it to Vegas right now.
I'll give it to Vegas. Here we are. Vegas Golden Knights. It's on your racket, as we say in tennis. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it, man.
All right, take care, Gil.
Andy McNeil at Digital Gambler on the Twitter. We'll come back. Basketball on the other side with Nick Whalen from RotoWire.